Mayor Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Paul Rogers from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, and he was the house chaplain for a year or two.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we see the needs of many around us, and we are conscious of what we ourselves have. We in these chambers, together with the various staff members related to the Senate, have employment and income. We have a warm place for our work. For all that we have, we are grateful. Nevertheless, we are mindful of the state of our state. Too many of our people have lost work. Too many worry about paying the heating bill after these cold days. Too many are homeless. The lines at the food shelters are too long. For all of these people, we pray. Bless them in their days of terrible need. And now we pray also for these women and men of the Senate. As they struggle with difficult challenges, bless them so that they might find just and workable and sustainable solutions. Bless them, O God, so that they might be a blessing to all the people of Minnesota. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Hahn, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Uyghur.
Quorum is present. The next order of business we'll make note of is executive and official communications. The third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate concurrent resolution herewith returned. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to the adoption of temporary joint rules. Signed, Albany Mathewith, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate Concurrent Resolution as amended, herewith returned. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to parking space in the Capitol area for members of the legislature and staff. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 to the Rules Committee.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Mr. Secretary.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate Concurrent Resolution herewith returned. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to adjournment for more than 3 days. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Okay, the next order of business is reports of committees, the fifth order of business. There's one to be read at the desk.
There are two on the agenda, on the printed agenda. This one is not. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 4, a bill for an act relating to unemployment compensation, providing for a new base period for calculating benefits, etc. reports the same back with a recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. Signed, Richard Cohen, Chair.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the report read by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Second reading.
Senate File 4.
Second reading. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senate resolution number.
Mr. President, I think members will notice on their desk is Senate Resolution 18 that the Secretary was just going to read. I think what we'll do is have you double check your mileage. So on your desk, we won't pass it today, we'll pass it next week, but on your desk is Senate Resolution number 18. It has mileage to and from home, and this probably would be a good time for everybody just to double check their mileage. So
I'll lay it on the table, resolution number 18. That secretary will report the resolution before
Senators that. Pogermiller and Senjum introduced Senate Resolution number 18, a Senate resolution relating to mileage, setting the miles traveled by members of the Senate in going to and returning from the Capitol.
Now, Senator Pogermiller.
Then, Mr. President, I would lay it on the table. Move to lay Senate resolution on the table.
On the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Objection. We'll adopt the introduction proceeding on motions, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There's one change on page 1, number 82, will be sent to the Judiciary Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Now, that's it. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to recess to attend the State of the State address. And then our intent would be to come back immediately after the State of the State address and conduct two pieces of business. One is the confirmation of the Commissioner of Transportation, and the other is the bill that was just reported from the Finance Committee. I'd like to declare an urgency on that unemployment compensation bill, Senate File 4. Senator Senjum and I have talked to the author and some of the members of the Finance Committee. There perhaps will be some debate on that unemployment compensation bill, but there is a timeliness issue to that, and I think if we could process that today and get it over to the House, that would be the most appropriate thing we could do. So that we'll do that as soon as the speech is over. So we would hope members would come back relatively quickly. There are some committee meetings this afternoon, and so we'd like to conduct that floor session as in as timely a fashion as possible.
Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Scheid, I believe, might have an announcement. She has to delay a committee meeting because of that.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President and Senator Pogermiller, I think that Senator Murphy and I have decided to cancel the joint hearing. It was going to be at 1:15 or 15 minutes after the governor's speech, and we think we have people coming in, so we're just not sure what time we might be done here. We're going to cancel that meeting, and stay tuned. We will reschedule it.
Well, okay, I would be surprised if the speech was less than an hour. I would be surprised if the floor session lasted past 2 o'clock. Okay. So you're going to cancel? Okay, they're going to cancel that meeting. So,
Senator Pappas.
I'm sorry, Mr. Majority Leader. I thought we were in announcements.
That's all right, yes.
Senator Schott got up. I also have a committee meeting scheduled for 1:30. We are going to try to still meet at 2 o'clock. We just have two reports to hear from the Office of Higher Education, so it shouldn't take them more than 45 minutes.
Any further announcements before we recess? Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I'd move to recess and to go to the call of the chair, which will be immediately after the governor's speech. And so we should gather in the well to go to the House now.
All right, on the motion to recess. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Pogemiller.
I move that the further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator.
On motions, I move that we take up Senate confirmations. And as I mentioned earlier, propose that we take up the Commissioner of Transportation. I would yield to Senator Murphy.
Remaining under motions, Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I need to make a motion. Is that correct?
That's correct. You have the script hopefully there. Move that report from the committee, that one. I think those dark glasses probably can't see the...
Sorry about that, Mr. President. I just came in from outside, and my word to anybody that goes out there is make sure you have more than a coat and a scarf. A car that runs would be appropriate. Mr. President, members, I would move the report from the Committee on Transportation reported January 12, 2009, pertaining to appointments be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I would move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I would move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Transportation dated January 12, 2009, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to the confirmation and appointment of Tom Sorrell, Commissioner, Department of Transportation.
Discussion at this point? You may, if you wish to discuss Mr. Sorrell.
Yeah, Mr. President and members, Commissioner Sorrell is the governor's appointment to lead the Department of Transportation. He's been on the job for just about a year now. And I feel very strongly that the commissioner has set a tone in the Department of Transportation of cooperation, not only with the legislature and other units of local units of government, but also with people. There's been many meetings with our constituents that the commissioner and his folks have brought forward to help people understand what the transportation plans are in their individual districts. I believe that this proactive approach has led to a much better level of understanding amongst our constituents, amongst county commissioners, city council members. And I, for one, appreciate working with our new commissioner, Tom Sorrell, in trying to forge a better transportation future for Minnesota. You can look through the commissioner's resume, and you can see that he has over 30 years of experience, mainly with the Federal Highway Administration. But he cut his teeth just like a lot of other folks that work over at MnDOT, doing local projects at the local level. He knows what it takes to build good cooperation amongst those local units of government, our constituents, MnDOT, and the federal government to make sure that the projects go off as smoothly as possible at the most efficient cost to the public. He's brought on all kinds of new people over in the department. He's basically taken the old organizational chart and shook it a little bit and put people in areas where they will be able to grow and shine. One of those individuals is a man named Bernie Arsenault, And Mr. Arsenault, for the longest time, had been working on a lot of safety highway safety projects. Now he's basically in charge of the whole division, the whole kit and caboodle, as we say, in that regard. And the commissioner recognizes those people inside the department who have that potential to rise above where their station in life is. He is a collaborator. And anybody that's come down and listened to the commissioner talk in front of the Transportation Committee, not only do they walk away with a good understanding that Commissioner Sorrell knows the business at hand, but he's also a people type of person. He's an easy conversationalist. He's genuine. He believes that transportation is the way to move Minnesota forward. And if you look down further through his resume, a lot of people have always been suspect of commissioners who may have an expertise in one area or not in the other. Commissioner Sorrell, if you look through his package, is a complete deal. Not only does he know highways from the local level, but also from state perspective and from the federal level. And he also knows transit. He was in charge of the transit project in Salt Lake City before the Olympics. It was because of Mr. Sorrell and a lot of the people that he brought together that that project was as successful as it was and continues to be. He believes in the biggest bang for your buck. And if that means a concrete overlay instead of asphalt or vice versa, or a transit option versus a transportation or a highway option, he'll go with the least cost and most effective form of transportation. I can't say enough good things about Tom Sorrell and a lot of the folks he's brought on, Assistant Commissioner Sahibjum, for example. We've got a new team that helps with the lobbying process over here. Many of you remember Ms. Parker. She's still working at the department. She's doing more of a legal end of it. And Ms. Parker will still be around. You'll see her from time to time. But we've got a new team that's lobbying over here. And all across the spectrum of the department, you're going to see new faces. So connect with your local district office. Some of those faces have changed. But make those connections. Talk with the folks in your district. Find out what the plans are. My bet is 9 times out of 10, they're going to be knocking on your door if they haven't already and reintroducing themselves. So I believe that Commissioner Sorrell deserves a unanimous vote by this body and would hope that you would vote yes on his confirmation. Mr. President, I know that Senator Jungbauer, the minority leader on our Transportation Committee, has a few comments, and so does Senator Dibble, who is the chair of our Transit Subcommittee.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. For those of you that don't know, I've had the occasion to actually work as a private citizen and business owner and come down and lobby issues since 1992 at the Capitol. And the one thing that always struck me with state agencies is many times they seemed disjointed. A lot of people didn't feel like they belonged, and you never really had a sense that morale was high. And still in other agencies at the state level here, I don't think the morale is where it needs to be. But I'm here to tell you that what I've seen change in just the past months under Commissioner Tom Sorrell is a whole different feeling from the people I deal with at MnDOT. And that first thing is morale seems to be much improved. Just the way they coordinate things, the idea that they belong there, and the sense of teamwork. People are treating me in a whole different way. They're much more cordial. And I think that's really indicative of what Commissioner Sorrell brings to the department. I think it's long needed. It's overdue. I could even argue it's overdue in a few other departments. Those are other things we can work with here. But I, like Senator Murphy, think we're really onto something here with MnDOT. The changes give people a chance to grow, a chance to really shine for the state of Minnesota, do good work, and I believe that this commissioner should be unanimously voted in. Thank you.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to add very quickly, because Senator Murphy and Senator Jungbauer have done a nice job of commending this appointment, commending Commissioner Sorrell. I agree, he has done an outstanding job in the few months he's been there. I concur, the morale at the agency is so much better, and it's palatable in every interaction we have with the Department of Transportation. He's put together a great leadership team that's also been mentioned. I also have really taken note of the fact that folks out in the community, the stakeholders, the larger community, local officials, folks who are building our transportation facilities are also much happier. There's a greater vision for transportation, looking at it in the context of our larger aspirations, our goals for this state. That's very encouraging. I think will lead to very fruitful policy outcomes. In the interaction with ourselves as policyholders in the legislature, with other agency staff, and the folks that I mentioned earlier, local leaders, the community itself, the folks in the contracting community, the interactions have been responsive, thoughtful, respectful, creative. You can definitely tell there's a greater ethic of availability and transparency in the agency. So this is an excellent appointment by Governor Pawlenty. I commend him for that appointment and encourage everyone to support this today. I know that Senator Bonhoff as well has some positive experiences to relate.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am a Midwest High-Speed Rail Commissioner. I'm actually an alternate, and I was at a Midwest High-Speed Rail Commissioner conference in Omaha this past summer, as was Commissioner Sorrell. So I appreciated that the commissioner thought it was important enough to attend that conference, but the thing that struck me most is we each had to go around this room and introduce ourselves. And so when Commissioner Sorrell stood up to introduce himself, he didn't talk about himself or what he had done. He talked about the MnDOT staff, and he stood up and he talked about his experience with the bridge and how much pain that all of the folks at MnDOT were in, and that he viewed his job was to help MnDOT heal from what they had gone through. And you could hear a pin drop in that room. People were struck by the way he spoke and who he was in representing his team. And so I became quite impressed with the commissioner, and I support this recommendation. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, Senator Murphy renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Transportation, January 12, 2009, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Thomas K. Sorrell as Commissioner of the Department of Transportation. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and Commissioner Sorrell is confirmed. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, this is the Senate File 4 that came out of Finance Committee, the unemployment insurance extension. I'd move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 4, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 4 on general orders its third reading and place it on its final passage.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Minnesota Constitution with respect to Senate File Number 4, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 4, now on general orders, its third reading and place it on final passage. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Chair recognizes Senator Metzen. Senate File 4 is now before the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Senate File Number 4 is a UI extension bill. The timing of this is very critical. We have to get it passed in a hurry because there are 3,000 workers out there that would benefit from this legislation. UI extension bill. There won't be another UI extension bill, but this one, most people have agreed, let it stand on its own. Don't muddy it up. It's too important for these people out there to get these minimum benefits. So that's why if you have a UI bill, and well, there will be another one, so rest assured. This bill has been heard in the jobs, economic, and business community. It passed unanimously without opposition. This bill was heard in Senator Tomasoni's division, passed unanimously, and there was nobody speaking against it. This bill passed Senator Cohn's committee this morning. I believe it was unanimous, and there were no opponents to it. This bill benefits about 3,000 of the poorest, if you will, UI people that I believe are deserving of these minimal benefits. This bill piggybacks on federal extension, and it follows the guidelines of the federal government for these Minnesotans that will be brought into this. The federal government currently has in place extensions that provide up to 33 weeks of benefits. This is not reinventing the wheel. I believe Senator Anderson had a bill like this a couple of 4 years ago. We're in very uncertain times. People are hurting. This is not a lot of money. It's $215 per person, and it is the right thing to do. At the end of the day, I'm told this will add about 2 days' cost to the fund. I'll repeat that. 2 days of cost to the fund to help about 3,500 people that are hurting. I was watching TV the other night, as I guess we all do. There was a lady working at a food shelf. Her neighbor lady came in. We'll call her Phyllis. She said, "Phyllis, what are you doing here? You're going to help us distribute the food?" "No. I need some help, and I need some food for myself and my family." So that's where we're at. It's a very, very small price to pay to help these people. Don't want to be unemployed. They don't want to be unemployed. You think $215, I don't know what that'll even get them. But, so that's essentially what the bill does. There's some time things in here and that, but I don't think we have to hit on that. But it's the right thing to do. The business community, I don't know, they weren't in. The governor's people, I don't know if they supported it or not, but they certainly weren't talking against it. They sounded like they were supporting it in all the hearings. So with that, I ask for your support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 4? Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Metzen, who I know I have made nervous today with this discussion, but I sincerely thank the chairman of the committee that I sit on for bringing this and for bringing it quickly. And I rise not in opposition to the bill, but with a thought and an idea that maybe we could add something else to it. Maybe you'd accept a hijacker here, but members, it does give us an opportunity to, at the beginning of session here, to talk a little bit about the economy, to talk a little bit about why this bill is even necessary. We all wish that it wasn't. But the UI Trust Fund is heading for insolvency. The money for these benefits comes from a fund that is about to go bankrupt at the end of this calendar year, 2009. In a small way, this will hasten that. Another consequence that we need to concentrate on today is when that fund drops and then goes insolvent, tax increases on employers automatically kick in to replenish it. So it's difficult. It's difficult, Mr. President, to rise today and talk about something that is actually going to lead to higher taxes on employers. Because when we came to the Capitol to start the session just last week, we knew we had two things to do. We have to balance this budget, and members, we have to figure out how do we kickstart the economy. What can we do as a legislature to get the economy going again? What can we do as a state senate to grow jobs? We need to grow jobs. So I felt, and some of my colleagues felt, that this was an opportunity, that this bill was an opportunity to talk about this, but also to suggest that we could add a little balance to this bill. I think Senator Metzen had it exactly right. These folks, about 3,000, they're not looking for a handout. They don't want to be getting unemployment. What they want is a job. What they want is a job, members. What can we do? Is there something we can do today to help kickstart the economy? And I think there is. Let's send a message today that Minnesota is open for business. This is going to lead to higher costs for employers. Let's put something on this bill that will lead to lower costs. Let's reduce some business taxes, Mr. President. I would like to offer the A50, which should be the newest piece of paper that you have up there. Thank you.
Senator Michelle has offered the A50 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Michelle moves to amend Senate file number 4 as follows. Page 3, after line 4, insert. This is the A50 amendment.
Senator Michelle, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've talked about the high business tax rates before on this floor. We ended last session talking about the need to reduce business taxes. If we do that, we will have greater employment. We will have less unemployment and less need for this kind of legislation in the future. We won't be looking to extend benefits. We won't need to, because we'll have a Minnesota that's beginning to grow again. So I think this is an opportunity, members, to send a message to business and to send a message to the House. Let's send a message to the House today that the Minnesota State Senate is ready to grow jobs. And that we're so ready to grow jobs, we're going to do it with the first bill that we take up this year. There's a symbolic impact that I think this message would send, and I think it's important. Members, we have the third highest business tax rate in the world. The third highest in the world. Let's give employers some relief. Let's give job creators some relief. Let's generate some jobs. Let's start to do that here in the legislature. Let's start it right here on the floor of the state senate. I know we all look east right now to what is going to happen in Washington, D.C. with a new president. And as a stimulus package is being put together, members, one-third of the stimulus package is going to be tax cuts. Let's match what the feds are doing. We can do tax cuts, and the state senate should start it.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, I question the germaneness of this amendment. The underlying bill, Senate File 4, deals with unemployment compensation benefits. The germaneness test before us under Rule 35 of the Senate rules says that if it's a different subject or a different purpose, it fails. I think it fails on both counts. The amendment before us deals with reducing corporate income taxes. That is both a different subject and a different purpose of the underlying bill. So, Mr. President, I question the germaneness of the amendment.
Advice for the chair? Senator Michelle.
Mr. President, and Thank you, Senator Betzel. That was, we would have anticipated that. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, we're talking about an unemployment bill. We're trying to add something onto this bill that will add employment. This is an employment amendment. You might think that's a little bit of a stretch, but we're going to need to stretch, members. We're going to need to stretch this year. We're going to need to be more nimble and flexible than ever before. Again, I think this is an opportunity, Mr. President, to send a message. Let's send a message that Minnesota is open for business. Mr. President, this is germane. The economy is hurting. This is germane.
Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also would like to suggest to the body and to you, advice to you, that this would be germane. As Senator Michelle pointed out, that by adopting the underlying bill that is before us, Senate File 4, this would lead to further tax increases. And so since we have a provision that will result in an increase in tax, I think having an explicit part of the bill that would counteract that is relevant and germane to the purpose of the bill. And as Senator Michelle pointed out, I think we are all interested in creating jobs and finding ways that we can encourage job creation. And we recognize that sometimes we have to do some things that we don't really want to do. No one wants to go without a job. No one wants to apply for unemployment. We all understand that. But let's do something positive to try to counteract that.
Further discussion? There being no Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, Senator Michelle proposed his amendment, and even before that, as President Metzen proposed this bill. What grasped me or what I grabbed out of that is a win-win situation here. We've got certainly unemployment issues was the Senator Metzen's bill, and we need to deal with those. We know that, and we're going to do that. But also we've got the issue of business and job creation, and I think, and especially at this time in our history, I think these absolutely go hand in hand. And again, I would characterize this bill with this amendment as a win-win package, and it ought to go forward as that, and I hope you find it germane.
Is there further advice for the chair? There being no further advice, I'm prepared to make a decision. Although there is an association between jobs and the cost of doing business in Minnesota, the bill that we have before us, Senate File Number 4, is a very narrow bill relating to unemployment compensation and extending certain limited benefits to some very low-income workers in the state of Minnesota. Therefore, the test for germaneness that relates to a different subject, and this amendment for us is intended to address a different subject and a different purpose. Therefore, I find the amendment is not germane. Further discussion on Senate File 4. Senator Michelle.
Mr. President, with the utmost of respect, I would like to appeal the ruling of the chair and ask for a roll call vote.
Senator Michelle has appealed the ruling of the chair and asked for a roll call vote. A review of the vote, a green vote affirms the ruling of the chair. A no vote, a red vote, would overturn the ruling of the chair. The secretary will take the roll. Thank you.
Mr. President.
All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 47 ayes, 17 nays, the ruling of the president is sustained. Further discussion on Senate File 4. Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. It is President, correct? I just want to thank Senator Metzen for bringing this bill forward, and he mentioned that I carried a similar bill. It was actually in 2002, and that's, what, 7 years ago now. After the recession and 9/11, we had some devastating major layoffs around our state. Major corporations were experiencing problems, and so we had a number of communities that were facing major layoffs. And we came together in a bipartisan way in the Senate at that time and passed an extension of unemployment benefits. And Senator Frederickson and I were just chatting about a fellow we met up at the old LTV mine site this fall when we were doing a tour, who talked about how he was one of the beneficiaries of that back then, and it really made the difference for him to be able to get some job training and get back into the workforce and to make it through those hard times. And those layoffs were isolated in certain communities around our state, and today we're facing something that's widespread. This recession, unfortunately, is affecting people all over the state. So I think the need is even greater now than it was in 2002, and I hope we'll pass this bill unanimously because it is going to be so important to help people make it through these tough times.
Further discussion on Senate File 4. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Metzen be available for a question or two?
Senator Metzen will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Metzen, I for those of us who were not are not members of your committee and may not have been able to participate or be privy to all the discussions about the bill. For clarification, during the discussion on the amendment that Senator Michel proposed, he pointed out that the fund that we are drawing these benefits from is likely to run into deficit relatively soon, and that this would result in an automatic increase in taxation to employers. And I just would like to know, Senator Metzen, if this is indeed correct, and do you know the time frame when this fund is going to go into deficit?
Senator Metzen.
The answer is probably yes, later on in the year. So this, I'm going to try to repeat it. This is not, it's money, but it's not really piling on. It's not a huge amount in the big picture in life. It's a 1.5 to 2 days cost to the fund over the period of the year. So most of us, I believe, in this building think that it's probably a small price to pay for those people we might be able to get a little boost for.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Metzen. Just so when this fund goes into deficit, how will it be restored, and will this put additional pressure on our budgeting process that we're about to embark on for the next biennium? What is the impact? How is that going to be addressed? And could you just help me understand that?
Senator Metzen.
Well, that's a good question, but it's not general fund money. It's money we borrow from the government. And if it, yes, technically, we do this quite often, except that this year it's going to be a higher number, and that's too bad, but that's the way the economy is going. So, again, this is the right thing to do.
Sir, further discussion on Senate File 4. Senator Day.
Mr. President, I would like to compliment Senator Metzen in bringing this forward. We all know that we're going to do there's going to be we can't solve $5 billion that's coming down the pike here and without a lot of Minnesotans having a lot of pain. This is one of the easier things we're going to have to do. And I do believe that we will be able to hopefully work this one out. And I think that it's something that early in our session that we can do. And I'm totally on board, and I'm hoping there will be a lot of green votes.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and I want to concur with Senator Day and thank Senator Metzen for bringing this forward. If you remember the charts we saw a couple of weeks ago, 55,000 more people will lose jobs in Minnesota over the next 12 months. And some of them are Republicans, and some of those are Democrats, and they're going to need our help. And this is one way we can do it, and I think it's important to move ahead.
Is there further discussion? Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. And this bill came through my committee, and thank you for your support. Just a little bit of an explanation of the fund. The fund itself is due to go into deficit in December. This particular bill will add just 2 days more to it than it would have had we not passed this bill. And this is a self-correcting problem that after we've gone through the recession, the fund then self-corrects and restores itself to a positive impact. And we've had this happen several other times that we've had to borrow from the Federal UI Trust Fund back in 75, 80 and 86, and 2003 to 2005. So this isn't something new. It's something that actually just goes along with bad times in the economy, and the fund itself stays replenished by self-correcting once the economy comes back.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make sure that one element of this is not left out, and that is an element of perspective. This bill is going to pass today, Mr. President. I believe so, and I would encourage members to vote for it. But we should keep it in perspective and understand that this is really not a solution to anything. This is simply a Band-Aid on a big wound, and I was disappointed that we weren't able to either, you know, really, you know, further debate Senator Michelle's amendment. It was ruled non-germane. It's unfortunate because that is the root of what we got to do here. It's all about the jobs, and I just want members to understand that this is simply a Band-Aid, and we shouldn't be entirely patting ourselves on the back every time we do a little Band-Aid like this. I'm anxious for us to focus on the issue at hand, which is the root cause of our economic problems, and that is job creation. So let's pass this, let's get this done, and I'm hoping that the majority here will begin to focus on jobs immediately. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 4. Hearing no further discussion, the Secretary will give third reading on Senate File 4.
Senate File Number 4, a bill for an act relating to unemployment compensation, providing for a new base period for calculating benefits, providing for a limited extension of benefits, etc.
Third reading. Is there discussion on Senate File 4? Hearing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 4. All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I think it's time for announcements. I think we've processed the work for today.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I mentioned earlier, the Higher Education Committee is going to meet at 2 o'clock in room 123.
Further announcements, Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I just wanted to call your attention to, and I know it's not on your desk today, but there was a flyer the last time we met calling attention to a meeting that the newly formed Children and Youth Caucus is having tomorrow over at the Kelly Inn. And we would, Senator Moi and I are co-chairing this. Senator Moi has taken the lead on suggesting that we form a caucus for the purpose of exploring the things that we could possibly do to help improve the condition of the youth and children of our state. I think it's a great opportunity for us to work together. Tomorrow we're going to have some presentations by some guests that will help start our thinking. We'll also have lunch across the street, Kelly Inn. I know some of the members like to go home over the weekend, and I would just encourage you to delay your departure for a little bit and come join us at the Kelly Inn. Thank you.
Without exception, Senator Pretner Solon will be excused for all-day session, and Senator Johnson will be excused at 1:20 this afternoon. Further announcements? Senator Pogemiller?
Mr. President, members, I want to remind members to just double-check your mileage on here. We'll take that up next week. I think these numbers are probably right, but just double-check it when you go home. Mr. President, I would move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, January 22nd, 11 a.m.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the Senate adjourn till Thursday, January 22nd at 11 a.m. In favor of that motion, indicate by saying aye. Opposed. The Senate is adjourned.